Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR in Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins. When should the identity of jurors in a court case be made public? And should their home addresses be disclosed as well? Those questions pit privacy against the openness of the courts, and they were the focus of an argument in the U.S. Court of Appeals in Boston today. WBUR sought the hearing. It did so after a federal judge withheld the identities of the jurors in one major trial for 3 months and then refused to provide jurors' addresses. As a senior reporter for WBUR, David Boeri has pressed for the release of jurors' lists with names and addresses in a number of high-profile trials. David is here with us to explain the hearing today. And we should say, David, you were there as an observer, but also, obviously, as an interested party, because BUR is the party in this case. Explain why the station has sought the jurors' lists and what's on the lists.
Well, in a number of prominent trials in the last couple of years, I've sought to interview jurors to learn if and how the evidence influenced their decisions. So I covered the death penalty trial of marathon bomber Zhihar Tsarnaev, and then the serial killer Gary Sampson, for instance, and then the convictions of the owner, and in another trial, the head pharmacist of the New England Compounding Center.
Okay, so the center is the focus of this particular case. What has been the customary reaction of federal judges here in Boston to the requests?
The ruling precedent, the practice for the last 30 years in this federal district, the first, is that court proceedings are presumed to be public, and that includes names and addresses of jurors. And in the past, that past practice was the only justification for a judge to keep the names of the jurors anonymous is if the court finds a significant threat to the judicial system itself, such as a physical threat to a juror's safety.
And what happened in your case that led WBUR to go to the appeals court?
Our case involves the fraud and racketeering trial involving the New England Compounding Center and a national meningitis outbreak. Judge Richard Stearns refused to release the jury list for 90 days after the verdict. And when he did release it, he only provided us with the jurors' names and the towns or cities of their residence. That made finding the jurors difficult. For instance, imagine a juror named Michael Murphy of Boston. Well, it turns out there are some 729 entries from Michael Murphy in an online database for Boston. So BUR and its attorney, Jeff Pyle, argued that telling us Michael Murphy of Boston did not truly identify that juror.
Is there any expectation to privacy for the jurors if they don't want their home addresses out there, if they don't want to talk to the press?
This is a balancing of two amendments, the Sixth Amendment and the First Amendment. The First Amendment for speech, the Sixth Amendment for justice for the defendant and for privacy as well. It's a balancing act. But back when, 30 years ago, this opinion was written that has become the ruling precedent, there was an analogy that jurors are like citizen soldiers. They're fulfilling a duty as citizens and also as soldiers who are sometimes asked to do unpleasant things. In this case, answering the door to reporters who want to talk to them, for instance, and then exercising their First Amendment right to say, I don't want to talk to you, and my First Amendment right, and asking the question.
So what happened in court today, David?
The appeals court had appointed an outside attorney to argue in favor of the trial judge's decisions regarding WBUR. His name is Gregory Dubinsky. He pointed to that 30-year-old ruling called In Re Globe, and he said nothing in it creates a right to get the jurors' names immediately. And Dubinsky also argued there is no First Amendment right to getting access to the jurors' street addresses as well as the city or town of residence, as WBUR is seeking. And in originally denying our request, the trial judge, Richard Stern, stated that the ruling Globe also came in a more innocent age. One of the three judges repeated that today, raising the threat posed by the internet for harassment. Jurors should not have to give up their rights to privacy, was the argument.
And what was WBUR's attorney's argument in response?
Jeffrey Pyle argued that for over 30 years, the federal district has been releasing jurors' names in mostly responsive fashion and often provided the street address to us, too. In his briefing, Pyle also noted that over the same 30 years, there have been few, if any, instances of jurors being adversely affected by having their names and addresses released. And one of the justices, Bruce Selya, said something that caught our ears today. He said that the opinion, called Globe, has not changed, and thus that opinion is still binding, that names and addresses have to be released.
David, when is there expected to be a ruling in the case?
The three justices are expected to have a ruling after at least a month. Sometimes they go months.
All right. WBUR's David Boeri in the U.S. Court of Appeals today, where WBUR argued that journalists should have prompt access to the names and addresses of jurors. David, thank you.
You're welcome.